I'm gonna continue this series. Last week I started a series called Pervert Exposed, and we were looking at the ways that Satan perverts the things of God. Last week we looked at sex and marriage and the rainbow, which were all good things. These are all good things that God created for good. Now, as we go through this series, I'm trying to keep it fresh and not repeat material, but we do need to remember things like that Satan is a liar. Okay, Satan's a liar. Satan is a manipulator. He's a deceiver. And something else we need to keep in mind is that Satan is unable to create. He's not creative. See, sometimes we think he's creative because he does this trickery. It's not creativity, though. He doesn't have the ability to create. That's why he takes the things of God and he twists them. He takes things that God creates and he perverts those things. He has to take the good things of God and somehow try to twist or turn those and pervert them to provoke us to sin. You realize that? You realize that Satan, he's just trying to provoke us to sin. If you've ever said Satan made me sin, that's a lie. He did not. That's a lie from Satan. He didn't make you sin. He provoked you to sin. He put it there, and you choose to do it. But everything that God makes for good, Satan tries to twist, and he tries to pervert it to a point where it will provoke you to sin. And Satan has to have these good things of God. So think about this position that Satan's in. He has to have the goodness of God, even though it's the very thing he rebels against. He has to have it. Like, he relies on it. We rely on the good things of God to be godly, to be holy. Satan relies on the good things of God to be a jerk. All right? He has to have the goodness of God to be able to try to twist and be evil. And so remember those things as we're going through this. And today I'm gonna focus primarily on beauty. How Satan twists and perverts beauty, which God has created for good. And so as I look at this, just think about ways that beauty is perverted. Oftentimes beauty is perverted in one of two ways. It's either causes people to have great vanity, right? They're like, they are the stuff, and they look in the mirror all day and think about how great they look. They tell everybody how great they look. You know, some of these celebrities today, you know, they take selfies like 24/7. That's all they post online. It's because they want people to see how great they look, right? So he perverts beauty into vanity, but he also perverts beauty to provoke insecurity. He provokes beauty to cause insecurity, to make us think, well, I don't look like that person. I'm not perfect. I don't have this or that or whatever it is. So vanity and insecurity are the angles that he comes at. And we see through TV and magazines, we're told what is beautiful. We're told what's beautiful. We're told what's not beautiful. And even that changes based on who's popular or what the current trends are. And today in this world, you know, the word beauty, when somebody says something is beautiful, it often turns towards sexual attraction. But that's what a person really means when they say, you're beautiful. They're saying, I'm attracted to you. And this is Satan's perversion. It's Satan's perversion of the word beauty, which God created for good. So what is beauty? Beauty is this. It's the quality present in a thing or person that gives intense pleasure or deep satisfaction to the mind. The quality present in a thing or person that gives intense pleasure or deep satisfaction to the mind. The Webster's 1828 dictionary, if you haven't heard me talk about that before, that was the dictionary before it got perverted. That was the dictionary whenever Webster created it. It has stuff about God in it. Okay, it was before they had to pull everything about God out of it. But Webster said, he says it like this: beauty consists in whatever pleases the eye of the beholder, whether in the human body, in a tree, in a landscape, or any other object. Beauty is what we find pleasing. It's what we look at and we're like, that is pleasing to me. That provokes some kind of satisfaction to my mind. And Peter told us in 1 Peter, this would be my primary text, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and 4, and I'm reading out of the New Living Translation today, I'm going to mix it up on you, says this: don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. You should clothe yourselves instead with the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. So precious to God. Now, in this verse, yes, Peter is speaking to women. Okay, he's speaking to women. But guys, don't you for a second disregard this message like it doesn't apply to you just because you're not a woman, okay? This definitely applies to you. It's not only women that struggle with beauty. It's not only women that struggle with their image and how they feel about themselves, okay? You may not look at yourself and think you're beautiful, but you may not ever think that you're beautiful if you're a guy. It's just one of those weirds. It's kind of hard to apply to ourselves. But this certainly applies to you. And women may spend more time worrying about appearance. You know, they got a lot more stuff to do than guys. I mean, how many of you guys just wake up, you roll out of bed, brush your teeth, and you're good to go? And if you take a shower, it's like 5 minutes, you know? Women, they got stuff to do, right? You got makeup to put on. You got to get your hair right. Clothes feel right, but they don't look right. Or they look right, but they don't feel right. All right? Women got a lot more complexity to their appearance and how they get ready and what they have to do. But again, guys wonder, or they worry about appearance to some level too. Now, you probably don't stand in front of the mirror and wonder if those jeans make your butt look big. If you're a guy and you do that, schedule some counseling with me. I'll go through that with you. I really hope you're not looking at jeans wondering if they make your butt look big. I think you got some confusion there or something. But we do have other issues, okay? Guys have other issues. Guys have thin or receding hair or both, okay? Every day I look in the mirror, I kind of wonder, where's mine going? Like, I remember when I was like Xander's age, my hairline came like way out on my forehead, and I'm pretty sure that my mom promised me that I would never lose my hair because my hairline was out so, it was like so far, there's no way it would go back that far. Yeah, thanks, Mom. That, I believe in God's promises, not yours. You failed me. No, but it's happening. You know, it was like I woke up one day and I'm like, where is it going? It's disappearing. But guys also deal with, you know, weight gain, especially as we get older. You get to that point where it's like metabolism slows down and like, what happened? Where did this go? And guys wonder about things like, can they pull off a flat bill hat or do they need to bend it? Okay, guys have their issues. They got things they're dealing with. They've all got something. You know, I can't do a flat bill hat, by the way. Jason can pull off a flat bill hat. I cannot. It just doesn't fit, you know. And for me, you know, like I think about my belly. Like, why? I don't know why it keeps getting bigger. Like, it keeps growing. So I'm sharing with you one of my insecurities with beauty is, why does it keep, you know, growing? And when I put shirts on, I try shirts on out of my closet. I got to think, like, is this pulling my shirt too tight? Every day I get out my shirt and I put my arms in it and go, stretch it out, you know, before I put it on. And, you know, obviously I don't want that to be the thing that stands out when someone looks at me. Now you're all going to be looking at my belly and I'm just going to stay behind the pulpit. But I don't want that to stick out. I don't want people to look at me and be like, whoa, you've been eating a lot. You know, this is an image issue. This is an image issue. It's me worrying about how people see me, how they perceive me. And listen, that is something that I actually have the power to change. I can start exercising and go on a diet. But it's too hard because I love food and I'm lazy. I love food and I hate running. Okay? It's a bad combination. But we're talking about beauty today. And so beauty applies to guys too. It really does. We can have qualities that are present in us that give someone satisfaction to their mind, were pleasing to their eyes. And I've got a story or a couple of examples here where I felt beautiful. That's right. I'm going there. One time, Christy and I were going to a hospital. We went to the hospital in Springfield. I don't know if it was my Uncle Butch or somebody. We were visiting in the hospital. And we get done, and you're thirsty. You're going to make a drive back from Springfield. You got to have something to drink. So we go to the gas station. I don't know. This gas station seemed a little bit shady, but, you know, it was the first one we saw, and I was really thirsty. So I go in, and as I'm approaching this counter, I get ready to set my drink up there. And I kind of see this lady back there, and I'm just kind of like, I set my drink up there, and she's like, "Oh, hey, is that all for you, pretty?" I was like, "Yes." I paid for my drink, and I slowly backed to the front door. I don't know if she just got out of the joint or the big house or what, but she called me pretty. And at that moment, I was terrified. But when I got to the car, I was like, that lady just called me pretty. I've never been called pretty. Not one time in my entire life. But hey, you know. Well, I don't know what it was. But all I know is she called me pretty. And after I got over the fear, it made me feel good. But another occasion, a kid in my daughter's class saw me on the bus. I don't know what I was doing. Probably walking between the church and home, but he saw me and said, "Marissa, is that your dad?" And she said, "Yeah." And he said, yes, it was a he. He said, "He's cute." Then he said, "Don't tell him I said that." And then she came home and told me that she said that. Now, I'm really hoping that boy was joking. If not, he needs deliverance. We need to bring him in here. But that was the second time. So I'm pretty, I'm cute. I'm like, hey, I can roll with this stuff. This isn't too bad. Then for my anniversary, my amazing wife gets me this t-shirt. I'm going to show you what this t-shirt says. This t-shirt says "Trophy Husband." All right. Yeah, "Trophy Husband." I think that means that I'm beautiful. I think that means, I mean, when you think of trophy, this is like first place. Well, I guess it doesn't say first place, but I got a trophy. Maybe it's consolation prize. But my wife gets me this shirt, and, you know, I'm like, okay, that means I'm beautiful, I guess. This is really going good. I'm preaching this sermon this weekend, and this fits right in. And, you know, there was a time in my life where I probably would have been really embarrassed about this shirt. I would have been like, I'm not wearing that shirt. Are you kidding me? You know, like, because people think of, like, the trophy wife is like, she's very, very attractive. Usually you see them on TV, like a trophy wife, very attractive and nothing upstairs. You know, I mean, that's the perception that our church has. And listen, that can't be me because I'm not extremely attractive. I think I've got a little bit upstairs. But I wouldn't have wore that shirt in the past because I don't think of myself that way. But you know who does? My wife. My wife thinks of me that way. If she thinks I'm beautiful, then hey, that's good for me. I know my wife thinks I'm beautiful. I know that God thinks I'm beautiful because I'm his creation. And I don't really care what the rest of you think, if you think I'm beautiful or not. If you think I am, again, I've been called cute and pretty. You probably can't offend me at this point, so call me whatever you want. But that just goes to show beauty applies to guys, all right? I feel good about myself when I heard those things. And you know, whether we're male or female, beauty or what we perceive to be a lack of beauty can either make your day, it can ruin your day, and sometimes it can even ruin your life, all right, when you perceive this as a lack of beauty. But I want to talk about a scenario here. We're gonna dive into the scripture more here in just a minute. But imagine a woman, okay? I'm just going to use a woman, but again, guys, this applies to us. But imagine a woman, she looks in a mirror and sees all the reasons that she does not meet the world's definitions of beauty, right? She doesn't have the right nose. It's too big or it's crooked. It's too high. It's too low. She doesn't have the right hair. It's, you know, curly and she wants it straight. It's straight and she wants it curly. She wishes it was a different color. She may have wrinkles and wish she didn't. Her lips may not be plump and full like the girl on TV, or she has a mole, which sometimes is in and sometimes is out, right? I mean, some women would die for a mole, and then like others are like, I wish I could get rid of this mole. It just depends. Is there somebody famous and popular that has a mole? Because if they are, they're in, right? So it might be in, it might be out. Sometimes they have freckles, sometimes they don't have freckles. Some of them don't have dimples and wish they did, right? You got this woman looks in the mirror and she's got all these things running through her head. And she views these things as defects, right? Things that are wrong with her. Things that need to be corrected somehow. You know what is happening right there? Is that woman is letting society judge her. She's letting society judge her. A bunch of ignorant people are her judge when she feels that way about herself. And so she can't possibly live up to society's standards. It's not possible. Not possible. She can't live up to those standards of beauty. It often causes stress leading to depression. And this is what we see a lot of times in our world. Now, why can't this woman see herself for who she truly is? One, she is letting the world judge her. But two is that she doesn't have proper internal self-image. She doesn't have a proper internal self-image. She doesn't have convictions of her own about the things that make her beautiful. And this describes a woman who doesn't know who she is because she's waiting on society to tell her who she is. She's waiting on society to tell her. And then she may blame God. She might blame God and say, you know, God, why did you make me this way? She might have questions like, why does she have this and I don't? Why does she look like this and I don't? Why do I have this defect? And the issue here is comparing yourself to people, to a standard that those people have set instead of a standard that God uses, the standard of God's beauty and holiness. And we have to remember that God makes beautiful things. God makes us beautiful because God doesn't make junk. That's right. Our God is not a second-hand God. Our God doesn't make ugly. Listen, this is for you today. Our God does not make ugly. Our God doesn't make second rate. He doesn't make worthless. He doesn't make not good enough. And these are just a few things, but there are not a select number of beautiful people in the world. It's not the people that you see in magazines and on TV. These are not all the beautiful people in the world. Every person is a creation of God, and every person is beautiful to him. That's what matters. And Psalm 139:14 tells us, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Marvelous are the works of God in each and every person that he creates. God makes you beautiful. And these physical things that people beat themselves up over, a lot of things are things that you can't even change, right? If you don't like your face, you can't just go get another face. It doesn't work like that. It worked in the movie Face Off, but it was really kind of creepy, all right? Nicolas Cage and John Travolta like switched places. You can't just go get another face if you don't like yours. I tell you what, if you could do that, it'd probably be a hot market, unfortunately. But you can't just go get another one. It's what God gave you. And I've shared this before. There's times where I hate listening to my voice. I don't listen to the recordings, or I don't like the answering machine. And there's times where I felt like, man, God, why didn't you just give me this a different voice? I'd like to be able to sing amazingly, you know? I'd like to be able to sing like Dylan or Jason or TJ or anybody that can sing. Any guy that can sing. The worst guy that can sing, I'd like to sing like him, you know? But then I feel conviction. You know what? God gave me this voice. God created me to look like this, not like this. I created this, all right? When I say we don't have the power to create, we do have the power to create bellies, apparently, because I've done it. But God creates us to be beautiful. He creates us the way that we are. And these things that we worry about and we consume our time about, our looks and things that we wish were different, are often things that they just can't even be changed anyway. Even if you don't like your hair, you could go get a wig or something, but that's going to get old every day putting on that wig. You know, we can do what we can do, but at some point we've got to get to the level of accepting that God, marvelous creator, made us marvelously and we're beautiful. So back to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. Again, it said, don't be concerned with the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. You should clothe yourselves instead with the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. Now, right here in verse 3, Peter does not say, don't be concerned, or he doesn't say not to be concerned about the outward beauty. He says not to be concerned about the outward beauty, but what he's not saying there is to not care about it. He's not saying be a slob, let yourself go, don't care at all about how you look. But what he's saying is don't be concerned. And when you look at that word, don't be concerned, it means to not be troubled. It means to not be worried, not to be anxious about your outward appearance. It's not what should have our focus on. It shouldn't get to a point where it makes us upset. It shouldn't make us depressed. We shouldn't have to try to live up to someone else's standard. Listen, even if it's your own standard, you probably can't even meet your own standard. That's why we look in the mirror and we're hard on ourselves. We can't live up to even our own standard. What we should focus on instead, Peter tells us, is the beauty that comes from within. Now, listen, there are people who are very beautiful on the outside, but they are straight up ugly on the inside. Right? People that are just terrible, wicked. And for that, we do have a standard. See, on beauty, physical beauty, we don't have a standard for that. God created each and every person unique, and he says, you're beautiful, because I am the Lord, and I created you the way that I wanted you. You have the features, the nose, the eyes, the hair, whatever that I wanted you to have. And you're perfect. You're beautiful in that regard. Now, when it comes to the inner beauty, for that we see a standard. We see something that we're supposed to be striving for, something that we're supposed to be trying to obtain. This standard that of beauty that doesn't fade, it's right here. It's a gentle and a quiet spirit. That's what's precious to God, gentle and quiet spirit. And again, this is speaking to women, but guys, this can apply to us as well. What does it mean? Does it mean that women need to be quiet? No, it doesn't mean that women need to be quiet, a gentle and a quiet spirit. So women need to just sit around. Don't you talk. None of you. It's beautiful. No, not true. That's not at all what Peter is trying to relay right here. You know, there are women who are kind of loud and get kind of excited, get kind of worked up about things, you know. That's fine. That's probably part of their personality. It's, again, part of the way that God created them. You have some that are very quiet and reserved and some that are very outspoken and enthusiastic. They don't have to try to be something that they're not. That's not what Peter's teaching. He's not teaching women, you all need to be quiet. If you're a louder person, stop it. You need to be quiet. That's not what he's saying. No need to try to be somebody that you're not. But a gentle spirit, we'll start with that one. A gentle spirit is one that is humble, one that doesn't think too highly of themselves. This is beauty. Beauty is being humble and not thinking too highly of yourselves. Romans 12:3 says, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Do not think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. This is humility, not looking at ourselves as though we're more than we are, but recognizing who we are in Christ. See, the Bible never tells us to look down upon ourselves like I am nothing. Okay? That's not what it means. It doesn't mean like I am worthless, I am terrible. Now, in comparison to God, yes, we are. Without him, we are nothing. But being humble and having humility is knowing who we are in Christ. It's knowing that through him, We are made beautiful. We are made whole. We are made perfect. And you know, some men and women, they think that they're hot stuff, that they're really somebody. And we even have, you know, there's even Christians like this. Prayerfully, none in this room, but some of them really think that they're something. You know, they're really puffed up, really proud of how good they look, about that they're something. But consider this. Even the most beautiful people in the world, we'll just take the world standards, the people you see on magazines and on TV and in movies. What have they done to accomplish this beauty? How did they obtain this beauty that they have? God Almighty, He created them. He made them look like that. He made them that way, unless a plastic surgeon did it. But in that regard, all they've done is they've absolutely destroyed and ruined the beauty of the Creator. They've ruined it. They think they're making themselves more beautiful, but they're destroying God's masterpiece. These people have nothing to be proud of and puffed up about their beauty, because if they've done that, their beauty is fake. But the people who are beautiful because God created them that way. It doesn't matter the world's standards of who's beautiful and who's not. It's all glory to God. God made all of us equally beautiful to Him because we're unique. And so we need to have that humility, knowing that a creative God made us, and the things that He sees as that we see as imperfections, He sees as perfect. Things that we may look at in our features and we see them as imperfections, God looks at them and He's like, that's perfect. That's just the way that I made it. Just the way that I desired for you to be. Who are we to criticize God's art? You ever think about that? Who are we to criticize God's masterpiece? And I've got something in my journal. The first day that we were in Costa Rica, this is what I sat down and I wrote. And I do not write, by the way. This journal is pretty empty because I have to force myself to do it. But I thought this really fit here. I wrote that all that the Lord's hands have made is beautiful. I was looking at the mountains, looking at the trees, just how awesome it was. The sunrise. All that the Lord's hands has made is beautiful, but man is His masterpiece, made in His image. Now, when I say man, I don't mean one man. Not one man is the masterpiece, because no man is greater than the other in the eyes of the Lord, in the eyes of the Creator. But mankind is God's masterpiece, created to praise Him because He is holy. Man, mankind is God's masterpiece. There wasn't a person around whenever I wrote that. All I saw was God's creation, and He just revealed to me, like, that's nothing. You see the most beautiful of my creation every single day, every single place that you go. You see the most beautiful. You see that mountain scene and you think it's amazing? That's nothing. Look at your family. Look at your friends. Look at the person at Walmart. Look at the lady at the gas station. Those are all His masterpiece, His perfect creation. Man, God is good. God is good. It's all glory to Him. So this gentle spirit, a gentle spirit is one that's humble, but it's also patient. It's also long-suffering or enduring. We see that a gentle spirit is more than just being kind and sensitive. When I think of a gentle person, I just think of somebody who's, they're just real sweet and kind. They're real, you know, nurturing but not just being kind and sensitive, but part of that gentle spirit is knowing our identity in Christ, who He says that we are. And then it's being patient. It's being patient, waiting on God, sometimes even when it's hard, sometimes when it's painful, sometimes when we're annoyed, waiting and enduring. This is part of having a gentle spirit, is one who can wait on the Lord and who can endure. That's precious to God. A gentle spirit, patient, loving, patient and long-suffering, which are both part of the fruit of the Spirit. And Peter tells us that this is a beauty that does not fade. It never fades. Like, it doesn't ever decrease. It doesn't ever get less. It does not fade. And Peter also mentions a quiet spirit. Now, a quiet spirit does not mean silent. It's not a silent spirit, like unable to speak. But a quiet spirit means this. It means tranquil, which that means free of commotion, calm, peaceful, another fruit of the Spirit, as well as being unaffected by disturbing emotions. Man, this right here, a quiet spirit, is what a person has when they're okay with the way that God has made them, instead of trying to meet the world's impossible standard. Man, if you can accept how God created you and stop trying to compare yourself to others and wish that you were different, that's when you have a quiet spirit. You have peace. You are calm. You don't have these tormenting thoughts in your mind wishing that you were this or you were that. That's when you have a quiet spirit. And God says that is beautiful. That's beauty that does not fade, having that quiet spirit, accepting yourself as He created you, how He sees you. If we want to be precious to God, a gentle and a quiet spirit. And people of all ages are trying to figure out who they are each and every day. We always think about that as like teenagers, especially junior high age, that they're trying to figure out who they are. Man, sometimes there's 80-year-old people trying to figure out who they are. You may be trying to figure out who you are. Like, nobody's exempt from this. Every day people are trying to figure out who they are. And that's okay. That's okay. We need to try to find out, you know, who we are to God, who God has created us to be, what He has gifted us in. We do that by knowing Him more, by having that relationship with Him, not by trying to find out what's acceptable to the world, not trying to look at the latest magazines and see what we can do to change our look or our appeal or wish and you know, be envious, basically, of other people that are on the magazines. You guys realize most of those magazines are airbrushed, right? Or photoshopped or whatever, depends on what they're using. They're not real. Like, they don't really look like that in real life. Sure they do. I see them on movies. That is also, there's some stuff they can do there to make people look different in the movies. But knowing Him, not by trying to figure out how we can be accepted by the world, that is when we find out who we truly are. And how is it that people desire to be different, but they want to do it in a way that everybody else approves of? I want to be different, but I want everybody else to think I'm the same as them. You know, do we want to be different? Do we want to be the same? It's what people are trying to figure out every single day. Listen, I'm going to tell you, you want to be different because you want to be who God created you to be, not who God created someone else to be. Proverbs 31:30 tells us this: charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Beauty is much more than what a person looks like. If that's all that we have to hold on to and hope for, listen, it's passing. I'm sorry, but it's passing. Your hair is going. Wrinkles are coming. You know, things are happening. Listen, I hope I don't scare anybody. You are in a dying body. I'm serious. We're all in a dying body. That's why things change. That's why things start to lose form, okay? We're in a dying body. It's not a process that you can circumvent. You have to submit to it. It's just a given. But so beauty is passing. We can't keep up with Cosmo, ladies. You can't keep up with GQ, guys. You just can't do it. Beauty is passing. Godliness is something that lasts. Having this gentle and this quiet spirit is true beauty. And relationships that are based on physical attraction alone, man, they are doomed from the beginning. They're doomed right from the start. When people marry, hopefully their goal is to marry forever. Hopefully their goal is to be together for the rest of their lives. But listen, if it's only physical attraction that draws them together, physical attraction changes over time because your body's dying. It's going to change. It's not going to look the same years down the road. The body will change, and it's so shallow and temporary of a thing to base a relationship on. Listen, the star quarterback someday is going to be a wrinkled old man. The star quarterback will be a wrinkled old man. The cheerleader will one day be a granny in a rocker. Okay, she will. She'll be a granny in a rocker. Physical beauty fades, but not this inner beauty that Peter's teaching us about. Man, I tell you what, I love my wife. I do think she's beautiful. But like most men in ministry, somehow I pulled this off and I married up several notches on the rating scale. Okay, somehow I pulled this off. But you know what I find more beautiful than anything is her spirit, her passion, how much she loves the Lord, how much she loves people. Listen, she has a passion for Jesus and she has compassion for people. And there's nothing to me that's more beautiful than that. Nothing. What's more beautiful than things like when we hear a child pray and talk to Jesus? Man, I tell you what, Wednesday nights, I like to go to whichever class is having snack. Okay, I shouldn't have said that. Not because I like to eat snack three times. But I love to hear those kids pray. It's the time where you can get a kid to pray. Like, who wants to pray for the snack? One of them is bound to say yes. Man, there's nothing more beautiful than listening to a kid, a little kid, talk to the Lord. It's so sweet and genuine. What's more beautiful than seeing what we saw a couple weeks ago on a Tuesday, right where Ashley's sitting? We had a lady come in who was crying right at the beginning of prayer service. And as I come in, the lady's sitting there crying, and there's five or six women surrounding her with their hands on her, praying for her, talking to her, crying with her, just loving on her. No idea what she needed. It was just the love of God. There's nothing more beautiful to me than that. Coming in and just seeing people love other people unconditionally, no matter what they're going through. Now, thankfully, it didn't turn out to be anything traumatic, I don't believe. But, you know, we had no idea what was going on with that lady. Maybe she just killed somebody. You know, but the women of this church didn't care. They're like, this woman is crying. She needs ministered to. She needs healing. We're going to pray with her. We're going to love her. That's beautiful. What's more beautiful than a man treating his wife like a queen? You ever see that? What's more beautiful than that? Treating her like there's no more important person in the world. Man, that's beautiful. These are beautiful things. What's more beautiful than hearing God's people sing about how great he is? I wrote that yesterday. Had no idea we were singing that song. Hearing God's people sing together about how great he is. Man, you know what? God knows. I know God thinks that's beautiful, but I think that's beautiful. Like, I hear that and I'm like, this is something that brings a deep inner satisfaction to me. These things that I'm mentioning. See, beauty's not just about physical looks, sexual attraction. Beauty's about what brings that inner satisfaction, that satisfaction in our mind that appeals to us. It's these things. These are the things that are really, truly beautiful in life. Beauty is not defined by looks alone. But I am going to shift gears to attraction just briefly. Not going to spend a lot of time on it. But beauty is also perverted in the form of attraction. Now, God created beauty, part of it, for attraction, and Satan has perverted that toward lust. He's perverted it toward lust. You know, physical beauty is not all there is to beauty, but it does have some importance. There is some reason for physical beauty. It's attraction, okay? When you want to get to know someone, listen, just be honest. A lot of times it starts with physical attraction. You're like, that she looks pleasing to me. I'd like to get to know that lady. And then hopefully you learn way more about her that brings way more beauty than just what she looks like. Because again, it's too shallow to base it on that alone. But God created attraction for a reason. It starts with physical attraction. Relationships often do. And there has to be something that draws those people of the opposite sex together that generates that initial interest. There has to be something there. But Satan has perverted that attraction leading to sin. Proverbs 6:25, we're told, "Do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids." Don't let her allure you with her eyelids, and don't lust after her beauty in your heart. Now, this is pretty clear. It's pretty clear scripture. This is what the psalmist is telling us. Men, stop looking at women like you're walking around in a meat market. I'm dead serious. Stop it. Listen, we have to exercise self-control. You know where you get that? The Spirit of God. No, you can't do it on your own. No, you can't just like, I'm strong enough, I'm not going to do it. You need to get the Spirit of God, because self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. You need self-control and you need to exercise it. We need to have the mind of Christ. We need to see women as our sisters. And if any of you look at your sister that way, then we have another issue to discuss. We need to look at women as our sisters. We need to make a covenant with our eyes like Job. In 31:1, he said, "I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? Why then should I look upon a young woman?" Listen, when we look upon a woman with lust, we're playing right into Satan's hands. Right into his hands. It's something that God created for good, beauty, for attraction, and Satan twists it into lust. We're playing right into his hands. It's not okay. Listen, it's not cool. It doesn't matter if other ignorant men around you are doing it. It's not okay. Stop it. You are not ignorant as of right now because you've been informed. Okay, ignorance is a lack of knowledge. It's not knowing. Now you know. None of us in this room have an excuse starting right now. You've been informed. And women, what this is saying to you, don't let her allure you with her eyelids. It's saying, women, stop dressing like you're going out looking for a one-night stand. I know, these are kind of harsh words. Stop dressing like you're going out looking for a one-night stand. If you find pleasure in men oogling over you and staring at you, listen, you are being the devil's puppet. Absolutely, you're being the devil's puppet, playing right into his hands. It's not just on the man to look away, it's also on you to put them away. It's not just on us. Well, he just shouldn't look at me. Put him away. And maybe he won't. You know, not all men have the fruit of the Spirit. Not all men have self-control. It's not just something we can just choose to do. It comes in submission to the Holy Spirit. Prayerfully, every man will make that choice, but as of right now, they haven't. If you have to, if you can't help it, no shirts fit you, go buy a turtleneck. I'm serious. You know, but really, why do men and women play this game with each other? You see it all throughout society. Men and women, they're playing this game. Attraction is supposed to be a good thing. God made attraction, physical attraction, so there could be an initial connection. And this ties into last week. Intimacy is very important in a marriage. There needs to be some kind of physical attraction because intimacy is important. God created it so that you can be one, and we've got to be able to have that. So attraction is good. It's good as long as we're doing it in a godly, in a biblical way. But ladies need to dress more modestly. They need to have self-respect. And men need to control their eyes, having their own self-respect and having respect for someone's daughter and for God's creation. Amen? Worship team, if you would come up. I know a little bit of that was kind of rough. It's kind of straightforward, but listen, we have a real adversary who's a liar. Amen. We have a real adversary that's a liar and that's perverting these things of God to provoke people to sin. This is what his goal is. This is what his task is to try to draw down the people of God and drag them down to the pits of hell with him. So he twists, he lies, he manipulates, does whatever he has to do. And when we see things in our media, we see things on magazines and TV and movies, listen, that's not a good standard. That's not a good resource for what's acceptable and what's not. The Word of God is. The Word of God. He says that you were created beautiful. He didn't say that you got to wear provocative clothing to be beautiful. He said you were created beautiful because you're his masterpiece. You're the way he designed, the way he desires for you to be. You are unique, but you'll never be successful trying to live up to the world's standards. None of us. You never will. You'll never make it because as soon as you get there, it changes. It goes this way. As soon as you get there, it changes. It goes this way. We'll never live up to the world's standards, but we have got to find the courage to be true to who God created us to be. Who God created us to be, even if it means being ugly in the world's eyes. It doesn't matter what they think. It doesn't matter what they think. True beauty, true success comes from being true to ourselves. It comes from allowing this unfading beauty of the character of Christ to come from us, to reflect off of us, renewing us day by day. So we're going to open up the altars, and I'm just going to give an opportunity for people to come and be ministered to. We're told in James chapter 5 to come and admit, come and confess our sins, our shortcomings to one another. So they can pray for us and we will be healed. And there's people that have emotional damage. You know, you've had a complex your whole life. You've always thought poorly about the way that you look, that you're not good enough. You're always trying to be this or to be that. I want you to come forward. I'm going to have Natasha and Christy down here to pray with you if you're a lady. I'll pray with you if you're a man.